We're in Daniel chapter 1, and verse 8 says, we left off with verse 8, and it says, But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portions of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he may not defile himself. And as the last lessons that we was looking at, we looked in the book of Judges 18, and was looking on how they became, the nation Israel came to a man and started calling him father and priest. And also we looked at Jacob's prophecy about his own son, Dan. Now, hold your finger there and go to Deuteronomy chapter 32. Get Psalms 22 and Matthew 27. Deuteronomy chapter 33, verse 2. And verse 22, and get Psalms 22. We're just going to look at one verse there in Deuteronomy. So the main thing is definitely get Psalms 22. And as we looked at Dan was in an apostate, okay? They wasn't following the true God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And when we looked at Dan's prophecy, the tribe of Dan, and Moses' prophecy about the tribes, and in Deuteronomy chapter 33, verse 22, here's what he said about Dan. And of Dan he said, Dan is a lion's whelp, he shall leap from Bashan. Okay? What is a whelp?
Small baby.
So a whelp is a child of a lion in this case. It's just a little bitty puppy, if you will, a little bitty cat. And who is the lion in the Bible?
Satan.
That's a good point, because he's not talking about the lion of the tribe of Judah. Okay? So Dan's not coming from that. So did I shut that door?
No.
Okay.
I'll do it.
So he's not talking about that. He's talking about something not good, okay? So where it says he shall leap from Bashan, if I'm pronouncing that right, do you ever notice the people standing around the foot of the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, which was described as being bulls of Bashan? You ever thought about that? Go to Psalms chapter 22. We just finished that about Dan's prophecy. But there's people that's standing around. And at Psalms 22, I'm going to read verses 1 through 12. So if you're there, and some of this may come to your remembrance of like, wow, that's who this he's talking about. But ready? Verse 1, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me and from the words of my roaring? O my God, I cried in the daytime, and thou hearest not, and in a night season, and I am not silent. So he's constantly crying to God, isn't he? But thou art holy, of thou inhabitants of the praises of Israel. Our fathers trusted in thee, they trusted, and thou didst deliver them. They cried unto thee, and were delivered. Thou trusted thee, and were not confounded. Now, who's he talking about here? What fathers he talking about?
Israel.
They cried in the wilderness. They cried to get out of Egypt, and God delivered them, didn't he? But he says this, verse 6, But I am a worm and no man, a reproach of man and despise of the people. All they that see me laugh me to scorn. They shoot up their lip, shoot out the lip. Thou shakest the head, saying, He trusted on the Lord that he would deliver him. Let him deliver him, seeing he delighted in him. Now, where is this taking place?
At the cross.
So when you look at the fact that Jesus Christ is going to be going through this, is this prophecy? It's not mystery, is it? Mm-hmm. Now, a lot of people say that we preach the revelation of mystery at Christ died and buried and rose again. Okay, that's not a mystery. What he did at with the cross is a mystery. Verse 9, But thou art he that took me out of the womb. Thou didst make me hope when I was upon my mother's breast. I was cast upon thee from the womb, that thou art my God from my mother's belly. Be not far from me, for trouble is near, for there is none to help me. Here's the verse I'm going to. Many bulls have compassed me. Strong bulls of Basan have beset me around. Now you see that right there? Those strong bulls of Basan. Go to Matthew chapter 27. Matthew chapter 27. Now what it... Well, I won't jump there right quick. Matthew 27. Matthew 27. And notice who is standing around in verse 20. You ready? But the chief priests and elders persuaded the multitudes that they should ask Barabbas and destroy Jesus. So here's a group of people that's going to be standing around. Now the religious leaders and the priests and the elders are asking to have who? Barabbas in exchange for Jesus. Go down to verse 41. 42. When Jesus is on the cross. It says, likewise, also the chief priests mocking him with the scribes and elders, saying, he saved others, himself he cannot save. Does that sound familiar? Mm-hmm. Isn't that something we just read a little while ago? And the leaders and the chief priests of the religious system are doing what?
Mocking.
And not only that, they're what? Standing around. Do you know what Jesus just said about those religious leaders?
Call them.
The professional church operators, the priests, the elders, the scribes, the scholars' unions are standing around at the foot of the cross yelling, kill him. They are bulls of who?
Basan.
See, that's who they are. And you see his connection is with Baal worship. Go to Matthew 23. Matthew 23. And that's what we're talking about. Daniel would not eat of the meat and drink that was sacrificed to idols. For a reason. And this is where we're at here in this situation. And Matthew 23, verse 6 through 7, you'll see a connection through 8. When Jesus is talking about the scribes and the Pharisees that sit in Moses' seat in verse 2. And Matthew 23, verse 6, and love the uppermost rooms at the feast and the chief seats in the synagogues and greetings in the markets and to be called of men, Rabbi, Rabbi, be not, what? Ye call Rabbi. These men loved to be known with a title called who?
Rabbi.
Rabbi. And Jesus said, not call these men who?
Rabbi.
Now, was Jesus a rabbi? Yeah, he was, wasn't he? Verse 9. And call no man your father upon the earth, for one is your father which is in who?
Heaven.
Jesus said, call what?
No man
your father. And he's talking about earthly relationships here. He's not talking about your spiritual father. He's talking about earthly. He is talking about that religious titles that everybody wants to be title of. You know, there for a while we got, not few of us, it never did bother me. When you learn dispensational truths, you believe the Word of God. So I took an office of a bishop. That's what I desired, the office of a bishop. It does not say office of a pastor. Okay? And if you think about pastor, you think about sheep. And you're not sheep. You're saints. And you know, all these titles, oh, you're getting titles. You know, pastor is just a distinct title that sets you apart. I'm like, so is bishop. Well, I got stung when I was in a Catholic religion and bishop was a bad thing and all that. No. And people ask me, where's my little hat and my gown and all that stuff? You know, I'm like, no. See, this is where you get, if we're going to study right division and teach right division, you got to teach it you got to educate people. That's not a bad word. You with me? Bishop's not a bad word. And we had people just go off on the deep end about that. You know, if you're not a King James Bible believer, if you don't use the word bishop and all that stuff, you know, that's just nonsense. But he says, the context here is religious titles. And Jesus knew where these titles came from. You're Matthew 23, verse 14. Matthew 23. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye devour widows' houses, and for the, was it pretense, make long prayers. Therefore ye shall receive what? Greater damnation. Now, how do they devour widows' houses? You ever thought about that?
Doctrine.
What is a widow here? Someone who what? They lost her husband. They devour widows' possessions and making pretense of prayer for her dead husbands. So what do they do? Hey, you need to pray for your husband. You need to pray this. You know, a lot of people talk about penance and you pay. They talk about purgatory. These people got your husband's in purgatory, your daughter's in purgatory, or your wife. Now you're going to have to pay or pray to get them out of there. You know, they make a living out of that. And all, by the way, 25 years later, you paid their out of purgatory. You know, it's sad.
It's still going on today.
Mm-hmm. You know who people does that, right?
Yes.
Yeah. We're not fools. But look, by the way, you know that verse right there isn't in your NIV or even the Jehovah Witness Bible. Isn't that interesting?
Could be in many of them.
Well, there's quite a few that it is. It's in my Bible. But there's quite a few that's not, ESV and all that stuff. Who uses these Bibles?
Mm-hmm. Well, some churches have their own version. And the church that we're speaking of have their own Catholic version. They have their own
Bible. Yes. But it comes from the NIV area.
Right.
You know, they're non-expired versions and all that stuff. It's a corrupt text. Okay? So I always said this, and I believe it. You can find a Bible for everything that you want to believe. There's a Bible out there.
Sure.
Sherry came home with a Bible this weekend. It's a camper's Bible. And she was hoping to open it up and see what's happening around the campground, and it was on a, what, third grade level or something? You know, that type of thing. You know, just, there's a Bible for everything you want to do. Listen, for verse 15, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisee hypocrites, for ye compass sea and land, and to make one proselyte, and when he is made, yet make him twofold more the child of hell than yourselves. There's a worldwide church out there, a missionary church that goes out throughout the whole world doing this. Now, I got to thinking about this, and everybody talks about the Roman Catholics, and they talk about these things, and maybe I'm getting ahead of myself a little bit, but if I do, I'll repeat it in a little bit. But you know what Islam is? There's a religion out there, they're a billion strong. You know what Catholicism is? They're a billion strong. They're much alike in their teachings. And you got a pope today is trying to make amends and have a corporate church, okay? And there's pictures where he's kissing the guy as head of Islam and stuff. So they do this for a reason. They do this for money. But listen, over 100 some years ago, as we looked before, every person who professed to be a Bible believing and Protestant knew this stuff. And some, you know, and your ancestors knew this. And they understood what it meant to separate and to be a part of this stuff. Because you are different. You know, the little R in rock is not the big R in rock. We done talked that before. You can be a rock and you can have the rock. You can have the big G, little G, and all that. Back in Daniel chapter 1, verse 8. What did Daniel do? He purposed in his heart not to get hooked up in that religious system. And Apostle Paul, our apostle, says stay away from it. Don't even touch it. It's a system out there. And the only way you and I are going to be able to have discernment necessary is not to get involved. And we got to know what the book says. Not what our feeling says. Not what the book about the book says. That type of thing. And, you know, for some things, this can be nasty or ugly. And, you know, hard and all that stuff. Who are you to tell me what? Now, I'm not telling you to do anything. You got liberty to do anything you want to. This is what the Bible says. Whether I want to believe it or you want to believe it, it doesn't matter. It's what God says. And Daniel sets the standard here for the nation Israel. And the book of Daniel is just not a little storybook story for little children. It's meat and potatoes for grown-ups. We looked at that all right already. Little baby feeding milk, don't you? And then you take a little while, next thing you know, you can't wait for them to eat table food because that's less work for you. But now you got to make sure it's cut up right and, you know, that they can chew it and all that stuff. But Daniel sets the standards of separation by setting up the system and tells you to stay away from it. Anything connected with Babylon's system of religion. The mother of harlots encompasses them all. It takes them all in. And that church we was talking about is a present day manifestation of that system. But the verses say that she's the mother of what? Harlots. Is that one?
No, plural.
Plural. There are all kinds of groups out there associated with her. And you look at the characteristics and you'll see them and you'll know what they have. And that's why I was talking about, you know, Islam. You know, there's all types of religion and you can probably get connection and it's not to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I recently listened to a program. I think it comes on like 2 o'clock in the morning. Some of us are up that late or early for some. And it's called Coast to Coast. And, you know, he has all kinds of weird people on there. People that's been abducted by aliens to, you know, Bible scholars. Well, this one guy was on there. He was from Egypt. What do you know about Egypt? All the world's knowledge is supposedly come out of Alexandria, right? I hope you understand the Bible that we believe didn't come out of Alexandria, okay? So he's good talking about, how did he say? He made a distinction between the Ark of the Covenant and the Ark of the Lord. And he said it was two different arcs. And I'm like, I can't find that. And he also talked about, remember when Abraham and Sarah, and they went into Egypt, and he told her, hey, you're very fair, and the Egyptians going to want you. So I'm going to tell you, you're my what?
Sister.
Because if he tells her he's a wife, they're going to kill him. Mm-hmm. So they take Sarah, and she's very fair, but the Lord gave trouble to Pharaoh all that night. And he brought her back like, why didn't you tell me that she's your wife? You know, you tell me she's your sister. Well, there's a verse in there, I forget what verse it was, it says he would make her his wife if it was not his sister. Well, this guy says that Isaac and Jacob, is actually Pharaoh's kid. And that's why the temples and Solomon's temple. And I'm listening to that, I'm like, yeah, so what's he doing?
Corrupting the word of God.
He used another version of the Bible to change that word. He said the King James Bible makes it out so you will never find. But this NIV says this. And I'm like, here we go. You know, and what he's doing, he's denying. He said he believed in God, but he's denying what this is. So he's an Egyptian. Guess what he wants to do? He wants to make himself his lineage and make Israel out to be Egyptians. Now they, as we go through, they brought a lot of stuff out of there. You know that. You stay down there 400 some years, and it's ingrained in you to do this and ingrained in you to do that, and God's telling you, no, don't no longer do that. Guess what's going to happen? You're going to tend to keep doing that. The things I want to do, I find myself not doing. Paul does that all the time.
Well, and some of those Israelites were born into that. That's all they knew.
But the religious system that passes through the scriptures from one end to the other, that's what it's talking about. It's a religious system. and it passes through the world in which we live in today. Hey guys, when that system started over here in Abraham, Isaac, it didn't just start with Abraham. It started with Adam. Okay, when Adam fell, he gave the deed of the world up and the whole world changed. And then so many generations, not even a generation later, Nimrod comes on the scene and builds the Bible or Babel. And there's a religious system that started there. It has not stopped. It's something that God Almighty in His Word says that we are not to be associated with. Now, is there anything wrong studying that stuff out? You got to discern it, don't you? You got to discern. You guys know me well enough to know that dispensational truths, I'm not going to get moved from this. That many people's tried to move our family, haven't they? You know, from changing this and changing that, you need to do this, you know. No. This is truth. Now, there's a lot of things in the flesh we do that might not please God, but yet the fact is, you're not moving me from into another religious system. And the prophet Daniel in Daniel chapter 1 was doing far more than just saying that he wanted to be a vegetarian, as many people might think he was, when he refuses the king's meat. He was refusing the meat and drink that had been what? What you got to keep this in mind.
Sacrifice.
That religious ceremonies dedicated to the religion of Baal. It still strikes me, we're not even 8 verses in a chapter, and he's dealing with food. I'm like, oh my gosh, I love to eat. You know, that type of thing. But you got, he didn't want that particular food. And the religion of Babylon is the religion of Babel, which is Baal worship. And the issue of separation that Daniel enjoined was purposing in his heart not to defile himself. Out of all the things, hey, he went to the castle. He went to the temples. He went to their studies. Did he not?
Yeah,
he sure did.
He was groomed.
Yeah. Daniel set the standard for what a separated Jew is going to be doing in this tribulation period over there. Hey, if the Jews over here in the tribulation period taking part of what the Antichrist's doing, he's going to defile himself. And he's going to join right in there and desensitize his brain. He is a type of the remnant who, in the future, separates himself. Now, the religion of the Antichrist is associated with what we're studying. Okay? You got to remember that. When Daniel sets up that standard, he sets up the issue of what separation really is. A standard is a standard. I've been with this company for 18 years. And always, they always had a standard, okay? And as a driver trainer, I try to meet that standard, not to go under it. And I bring these trainees up and say, listen, here's the standard. You don't go under it. They said it, and they don't drop it. God set His standard. He didn't drop His standard for Israel. He don't drop His standard for us. And the Apostle Paul, in 2 Corinthians 6:14-18, we saw this last time, says, for you and I, members of the body of Christ, also be separated, not to touch that unclean thing, which is the definition of the quote in Isaiah as we looked at. And Paul is using that religious system that he was about to, those people in that time. It's about us today too. Isaiah was saying that. Paul was saying that. Don't touch that unclean thing. And when you have been able to do this, you go to the scriptures and you find the information. And you got to be mindful of those things. Now he says stay away. Now we was talking about priests a little while ago, right? And the religion. Stay away from the religion that has rogue priests called father. And remember Matthew 23 we just read that that's a religious title of people used for father. And the Lord Jesus Christ said what? Don't do that. He told them not to. And there were people during the time of Christ using that religious title of father among religious leaders of the nation Israel and whom they was associated with. Now, where in the world would any Jew have learned to call their priest father? Jew. God never said anything about calling a priest father. They got it from the ideal from who?
Baal.
Babylon. And they spent all those years in Babylon. And you know, not only that, we saw it in Judges. Dan and them, they went up to that tribe and the guy paid them, remember? And they picked up traditions, like I said a little while ago. And they brought it back home with them. These priests wear long robes. There were people in Christ's time wearing long robes. Go to Mark chapter 12 and get 2 Kings 10. Mark chapter 12. Verse 38, 2 Kings 10. Mark chapter 12, verse 38. And he said unto them in his doctrine, beware of the scribes which love to go in what?
Long clothing.
You know what that is, don't you? Robe. It's it. It's a robe. It's a long robe. You know, your Bible describes the garments that the Lord Jesus Christ wore and many other. You know what he don't call them? Robes. He calls everything but a robe, you know, that type of thing. The robes have a name. They're called what? Vestments. And if this was a church building, which we use it as church, this area out here would be called what?
Vestibule.
There you go. A vestibule. And that's where you would hang all the robes and hang all that stuff out there. And you go in there. And, you know, our church, many churches walk in there, oh, go in the vestibule and like, what? Back in that back room, you find something, you know, that type of thing. 2 Kings chapter 10. Here's something interesting. 2 Kings chapter 10. Jehu is collecting all the Baal worshipers in a big meeting. Okay? And what he plans to do is to get them all inside the building, church building, and kill them. Now, a lot of people think, how could God do this? And, you know, God wanted to do a lot of things, and people did it for us. Verses 20 through 22. And Jehu said, proclaim a solemn assembly for Baal. And they proclaimed it. And Jehu sent through all Israel, and all the worshipers of Baal's came, so that there was not a man left that came not. And they came into the house of Baal, and the house of Baal was full of from one end to another. And he said unto them, he said unto him that was over the vestry, bring forth vestments of all worshipers of Baal. And he brought them forth vestments. Vestments is the long robes. 2 Kings 10. Were long robes that they wore. And you know, a lot of churches today wears long robes, don't they? I took my two daughters out for lunch, I think it was Thursday or Wednesday. And I don't know if they noticed or not, but there was a guy in there. You see him? And he had a square beard and short hair. And he wore a long black robe. I mean, he dressed the part. And he was probably an Episcopalian priest or something like that. You know what I mean? So there are people out there. And the priests and these men are called vestments. They worship who? According to that verse. Be turned in 1 Kings. 1 Kings. They worship Baal. 1 Kings verse 9, chapter 19. They worship Baal. And they worship him with a kiss. And you know, there's a lot of presidents of countries. They give their person what? They kiss the ring, don't they? You ever notice that? Bowing down and kissing the ring. And they send ambassadors to this church. And why would you send a bastard to this church? We talked about that before. If Rome has a pope and people bow down and kiss his ring, you ever notice that? The kiss. Why would you send ambassadors to this place? Why would you send ambassadors anywhere?
To represent your country on foreign soil.
Foreign soil, but they're there for a reason, aren't they? They're like heads of state there and the stuff. It's because this church that we're talking about is rulers over the kings of the earth. Believe it or not. They're ruler over, and it's a political organization. And this particular head of this church walks around with two keys on his hip. You ever notice that? You got to check this stuff out, guys. I'm not just bringing this up. He has two keys. One of them is supposed to be the keys that he says the keys of Peter. You know the keys that Jesus Christ gave Peter? And supposedly one key is to the kingdom of God. He has the power to keep you out of hell. And the other key is a key to heaven. So that's, remember, what you bound on earth is bound in heaven. What you let loose on earth, that's what they were. But he has a political authority on the earth, this guy does. This church, this religious system. Go to 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 18. Elijah is deeply troubled and God is talking to him. But yet, verse 18, he says, "Yet I have left me 7,000 in Israel, all the knees which have not bowed unto Baal, and every mouth which have not, what? Kissed him." So you got a group of people out there kissing people, kissing him. They worship Baal by kissing him. Kiss his hand, kiss his ring, kiss his foot, kiss the ground, kissing idols. Have you ever seen that? Anyone do that? Sure you have. Many of you have been halfway around the world and twice over. I remember that time when my wife was going into Canada and she didn't have her license to identify herself. They said, "You're not coming to Canada." And we was worried about her even getting back in the United States because we was on the peace bridge walking across. And once we got across, she pretended she kissed the ground. You know, she couldn't wait to get back in America, that type of thing. But, you know, but go to Hosea chapter 13. All this is that worship system that identify him not partaking in that meat and drink offerings. Hosea 13. Hosea chapter 13, verse 1. Everybody there? Right before Joel, guys. Hosea 13. Right after Daniel, by the way. You should always have something in Daniel since we're studying it. Verse 1. "When Ephraim spake trembling, he exalted himself in Israel. But when he offended in Baal, he died. And now they sin more and more and have made them molten images of silver and idols according to their understanding," her own, according to who? Their own understanding. "All of that the work of a craftsman," they said of them, "let the man that sacrificed," what?
Kiss
the calves. They're making graving molten images, idols, and what doing? What with them? Kissing them. That's a sign of worship, guys. And this is a part of Baal worship. And they are kissing idols, and as a part of the religious system, ceremonies, those people are going through. Now, just to recap just for a second, go to 1 Kings chapter 16. Remember that young Levite man in Judges 17, 18 that we read about? Who became the priest of Micah's house? You remember Micah called his father? Called him what? Micah called that guy what? Father. And he took over all the graven images in that guy's house. And he was wearing a long robe and being kissed by worshipers. And then he became a priest of Dan and they did the same thing. Here's a tribe of Israel doing the same thing. 1 Kings 16. Watch how this stuff went from one tribe. Now it's going to infiltrate and spread into all the whole nation. 1 Kings 16, you'll find Baal worship is made the official religion of Israel. Now, I know what some of you might be thinking right now. No, it's not. They would serve the God of Abraham, Isaac, but listen, when we use this timeline, this line up here represents true Israel. Okay? That's who Israel was and what they was doing. If you can visualize or even draw another chart with another line running counterfeit with this, that's where majority of Israel was at. The apostate Israel was not following the God of the Bible. That's why a lot of people, they get upset when you say Israel's in the land over there, that they're not the real Jews of the Bible, that type of thing. Are they worshiping the God that we worship? Let's move on. 1 Kings 16, verse 29. And in the 38 years of Asa, king of Judah, began Ahab, the son of Ormah, in the reign over Israel. And Ahab, the son of Omri, thank you. Reigned over Israel and Samaria 22 years. And Ahab, the son of Omri, did evil in the sight of the Lord above all that were before him. So they was doing evil there for a while, right? Mm-hmm. So what's this saying?
He got worse.
More than anything else did. And he did evil in the sight of the Lord before him. And it came to pass, as if it had been a light thing for him to walk in the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, and he took the wife of Jezebel, the daughter of, was that Ethbaal? Ethbaal. Notice the last part of his name was?
Amen.
These names mean something. The king of Zidon. And Zidon was a tribe of Dan, went to Philistia. And he went and served who?
Baal.
And worshiped him. And he reared up an altar for Baal in the house of Baal, which he built in where?
Samaria.
Who has a house where they worship God? There wasn't but one place in the earth at the time where God could be worshiped, and that was in where? You said in temple. Temple is what I'm looking at. Temple, a tabernacle was in wilderness.
Okay.
But he worshiped in a temple. There's only one place where God worshiped. Ahab had a what? A house of Baal. And Baal is a little house of God to worship in. Verse 33. And Ahab made a grove. And Ahab did more to provoke the Lord God of Israel to anger them than all the kings of Israel that they had before him. Man, you were probably thinking, he's going to get you. You know, some of the prophets saying, you're going to get it. But he angered him more. And he made a what? There are a lot of things in this passage to look at. Notice first in verse 29 through 31 that Ahab married Jezebel, the daughter of Ethbaal. Ethbaal means living with Baal. And Ethbaal is a prince or priest of Baal and the king of the Zidians. Baal is the official religion of the Zidians. Ahab married Jezebel, who is the priestess of Baal, and she becomes his queen. You see all this stuff coming in, infiltrating? Mm-hmm. And then he says, and then Ahab is a wicked man, and Jezebel was more wicked than he was. And they work together very well, by the way, as a husband and wife should, right? You would think. And Ahab was a little spoiled brat, if you will, but Jezebel didn't wait for someone to give her something. She went out and took it. And when Ahab wanted Naboth's vineyard, and Nebuchadnezzar wouldn't give it to him. Ahab just went home and pouted like a little baby and laid his head on his wife's lap and put his face to the wall, and Jezebel didn't pout. She went into motion and took him, murdered him, and took the vineyard. Okay? Baal worship is established as the official religion of Israel. They serve Baal and they worship Baal. Worship services are established. In verse 32, they built an altar in the house of Baal. You see that? They had been worshiping buildings, houses, and altars. But look, have you ever noticed a grace preacher, they don't call this an altar? You ever notice that? But a lot of churches do, don't they? What do we call it? A pulpit or lectra? Pulpit. Altars have been done away with, guys. That's why we don't have altar calls. You know, I got upset when I first, cousin's stuff introduced me to this Right Division. I'm like, I listened to their message, I'm like, yeah, right on. And then the next thing I know, it's like, you didn't have altar calls and water baptism, and you didn't sing a song, you know, Just As I Am. You ever notice? We'll sing one verse of Just As I Am. Everybody, all eyes bowed, all eyes closed, head bowed. I don't want nobody looking around. One verse. Come as you are. 15 minutes later, 16 more same verses. That type of stuff. You know, y'all might not think about that. I do. But look, there's only been one altar that God ordained, and that was the altar in the temple. And since Jesus Christ died on the cross, the book of Hebrews says that he had that we have an altar, and it isn't in the altar in the house, and it isn't in the temple anymore. It was the cross. Mm-hmm. And if you need an altar, you need to go to the cross of Calvary. Mm-hmm. And you don't do any, don't go somewhere that, you know, you've been going for all these years, that type of thing, and call it an altar. You know, I always was told, and you probably have too, the bad thing about a living sacrifice, you know, verse in Romans 12. 1 and 2, make yourself a living sacrifice. One bad thing about a living sacrifice, if you crawl up on the altar, guess what?
Not only
that, you can crawl back off. You know, it's not saying that. It's not saying that. You know, I think about Abraham all the time, guys, when he took his son. His son wasn't just a little 8-year-old boy. I believe he was a man, 18 years old, better. He'd been with them for a while. And he bound him, Isaac, and he was going to kill his son on that altar up there. You know, that's what the altars are for. You need an altar that will be here forever, and you had one in Jesus Christ and his work at the cross. That's what that is. And Israel's, I'm going to finish up here in a second. Israel has altars with idols, and they are sacrificing. And what do you do? You sacrifice. What do you do at the altar? You shed blood. And they had drink offerings of blood. They had house of Baal. In verse 33, Ahab made a grove. You know what a grove is?
Tree farm.
What is it?
Trees or totems.
Totems. Tree farm.
Wooden image.
Wooden images. You know, you look at somebody's, what is it?
Grapes.
Groves. Go to Deuteronomy 16. A grove is like a hedge of protection. You know, that type of thing. But look at this for a second. Look what God says about a grove.
Well, first.
We're going to verse 21. Lord God don't like groves. And it's something that the Israelites were categorically told not to do. They was told over and over not to do this, not to do that. And guess what?
They did it anyway.
A grove is something that is so depraved and full of debauchery that it probably we shouldn't talk about it. But it's not a good thing, guys. Deuteronomy 16:21. Thou shalt not plant thee a grove of any tree near upon the altar of the Lord thy God. which thou shalt make thee. Neither shall they set thee up any images which the Lord thy God hateth. A grove has to do with a little mound or a high place of ground. And you set up altars with images and idols to worship on that high place ground. And trees are made to enclose so that you can get inside of the trees and set up images and hide what you're doing. Now, years and years ago, I did the timeline using trees of the Bible instead of these figures of guys. And God hated every high tree, every green tree on every mound. He said, cut it down. And you watch them trees, they go up. And the biggest one of the biggest trees in paradise was Satan tree. He grew up. That type of thing. The image that we're trying to hide is a bad image. And a vile perversion going down. Religion and worship of God that could ever be dreamed of is possible. And Revelation chapter 2, you don't have to turn there. I'm getting ready to close. Says, Jezebel taught my servants to commit fornication and eat things the idols were sacrificed to idols. That's what they're doing there. They're not made, not to be making groves or idols. God said, don't do it. I hate that. Don't associate with it and get away from that. That's why Daniel didn't want to do it. And how old was Daniel? 12, 13, 14 years old. He had to make some big decisions. And Ahab makes groves. It's part of that Baal worship. And 1 Kings 16:33 says, Ahab made a grove, and Ahab did more to provoke the Lord God of Israel to anger than all the kings of Israel that were before him. Where you at, 1 Kings what?
We're in
Deuteronomy. Well, we can close there, but 1 Kings 16:34, in the days, it goes on over and over, and it starts, 1 Kings 16:34, 1 Kings chapter 12:25, all these are changing the images who God was. All the nation of Israel starts to get involved with this worship. Seems like the thing to do. You know, that type of thing. I want to be associated. I don't want to be by myself. That type of thing. That's why I learned a long time ago, God's not impressed with numbers. But yeah, how big's your church? You know, and how many of you baptized? How many of you got, you know, that type of thing. God's not impressed with that stuff. That's man's doing. And all this religious worship stuff, he takes all the way down there. And that's why, it's hard to close here. But might as well, because next lesson we'll start about the calves. And all this worship stuff. But you know, Paul talks about if any man coming to you preaching another Jesus. Jeroboam is saying that Baal is God Almighty, and Satan says he's God Almighty. And when Paul says, if any man comes preaching another Jesus, which is not another Jesus, that type of thing, there's people out there will come to you, and you've probably been in that system and understand what I'm talking about, and say there's another Jesus. You gotta worship Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, earthly Jesus. And in closing, that young guy I was talking to out there in Kansas, and he said, I'm seeing this mid-acts dispensational truce, and it's changing his whole, you know, life and how he studied Bible, and he's taking over a Baptist church there. And he goes, you know, some of them might, you know, kick against the pricks, that type of thing. But he said, some of them starting to understand some things. I said, well, we talked about red letter Bibles and how, you know, people put emphasis on red letters versus, you know, anything else. And you got, Jesus said this and Jesus said that. I said, isn't that interesting? And there's a verse, I don't have a red letter Bible, but I think in Acts, Paul says, Jesus said this, it blesses those who receive, I think it's a verse. And you can't find that he said that at all in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. So I'm getting at when you worship the unearthly Jesus, you know, you got to be very, very careful. Because Paul, how did he know Jesus Christ?
Risen, glorified.
They recognize him. So he, the glorified, risen Lord and Savior, Lord Jesus Christ is up here on the right hand of God the Father. And that's when he came to Paul. He didn't come to Paul in his earthly ministry. So when you think about preaching another Jesus, can you preach another Jesus? In a sense, you can, but you got to watch this bell worship. Father in heaven, thank you for the day. Thank you for things given. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.